Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Covering the Thomas Randolph trial, we're about to take a listen to audio from a video where Thomas Randolph gave the police a tour of his home and explained, in his words, what exactly happened that night. It's a 45-minute audio clip. One of the strangest that I think I've seen and heard in quite some time, and definitely worth a listening, a listen if you're following the trial with us here to get a better idea of the character of Thomas Randolph. Here is that audio.
Your address here, and then explain to us what your understanding is of what we're going to do here.
My name is Tom Randolph. My date of birth is 2255, social security number 8. And it's my understanding we're doing a walkthrough of the house, kind of a reenactment of what happened last Thursday.
And it's your desire to come out here and do this for us, right, so that we can get an understanding of what was going on?
It's my desire, not my desire, but I'm cooperating with you.
Okay. And you came out here on your own free will, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. The driveway, about when I start to make the curve, about right. About there, we start opening the door up. I will stop because there's not enough room for both cars to get in there. You can't get both cars in and get both people out. So I stop the car. Sharon gets out. She had the steak and lobster from charcoal grill or something. So she gets out, closes the door. She goes on in, starts walking in. I give her a little bit of head start to get to the door. I start pulling in. By then, she's pretty much got in. I may not be able to get the car in at all because of the people moving the car when they cleaned. But I'll try. Okay.
She's already in the house.
She's going in the house about right now.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to get out of the car, so I'm going to have to move the car over. I can't get out.
That's fine. You can just do the best you can.
Well, I actually start shutting the door as I get in. I would have already shut the door. It would have been coming down as I start getting out. This is about how close it was that night, so that's probably...
Okay, so what are you doing now?
This is it, just coming on in the house. Now this door was closed, so I opened it up. I get right here and Sharon's laying in the floor, face down. Her head's just barely in the bedroom, if that. And I stopped right about here, I had the door. I said, Sharon, Sharon. And I seen the bag from charcoal steak or whatever, and it's really a bright red. And this hall light wasn't on at the time.
So it was just like this?
Just about like this, and I turned the light on myself as we got in. And I could see that red thing, and it was up underneath her, and I thought it was blood. I thought that was blood then. And I started to get nervous about backing off, and I actually came to the door and I touched it and then I stopped and put it back down because I thought, nah, this is, I was going to go get a neighbor. And I took the, something like that. And about right here when I was like this, I was trying to kind of get a view. I thought I just seen like a shadow or something over this way. And I remembered that there's the 9mm right up here, because earlier I'd taken all my guns, put them in a suitcase, was going to take them to Utah and switch the guns around. I reached right up here, got the gun, and as I got the gun, there's also an extra clip. There's a few up there, but I got the gun and the clip.
Show us in there where it's at.
Right. Normally it would be right in here. Right in here.
Okay.
And I still, you know, I was trying to be attentive to where's, you know, what's going on out there. And like I said, I kind of, and I'd already started to run, and then I just reached up just like that, grabbed it, stuck it in my pocket, came around just like that, and about that time he's right up on me. Just right up on me. And we actually touched right about here. And he's short. And when he, I don't know if he gave me an elbow, but as we came around like that, I was kind of coming out. I was actually going to try to be slow, you know, and look out, but it just happened too quick. We came up and he kind of banged into me about right here. And then he went over to about right here. And somewhere along here, I bit my mouth or something, trying to say something like, what the fuck or something. And he looked kind of like, and I don't know if he was looking in here to see if there was somebody else or what. And there was he had on a sweatshirt. And I don't remember if I seen the handle in the sweatshirt, if I seen the handle down his pants, but he was doing something, going for something down in here. And as we got up in here, and he kind of rushed up on me a little bit, and that's when I just pushed him, boom, 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 and he started going out toward the shed. I don't know how many times I shot him, but I just kept right on going, boom, 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 and he just lay in there. Just laying there, and I look back because then I'm trying to make sure everything's cool. Kind of stepping back like that, and about that time, I heard the really, really loud noise. And what had happened is, I guess he had hit the refrigerator and the, help me here,
the fire extinguisher.
The fire extinguisher fell down. I didn't know what it was, but it made a loud clunk, and I was kind of, like I said, I was kind of looking back because I don't hear well, and I can't tell depth perception anything. And when I heard the noise, I was kind of, like I said, backing up and kind of trying to make sure there's nothing else going on. And when I heard that noise, it really did scare me. And I, boom, boom! Except the door didn't come down. It stayed just like it was open. I actually got close. Boom, boom! And I don't know if I shot him once, I shot him twice. And then started coming back down this way. He wasn't moving. Some noise. Come back down this way. And being real, just, you know. Sharon? Sharon! Sharon! And she's not. Do what?
What are you doing now?
I'm just kind of trying to see if anything else is going on. You know, like there's anybody around. And I came in here, and then I started to go in here, and then I... And Sharon's laying right here. And I think I turned this light on then. Turned that light on. And I did not go in there. I don't know why. I did. She was kind of in the way here. And I could see stuff all over there. I mean, stuff. These boxes. There was some clothes. The drawers was open. But she was laying here. And by then, I could tell she was hurt really, really bad. I mean, the blood was just... Then you could see thick blood. And I came back over and I went to call 911. And I came back over... And I didn't have my phone, and it keeps falling off of me. I come back through here, and just kind of, you know, just didn't know what to do, and just kind of looking around. And I dialed 911, and the phone didn't work. And I remember saying, fuck, what a time for Vonage to go out. And I stuck the phone in my pocket, and I thought about Sharon's cell phone. And I looked around, because sometimes she sits it on the purse, I mean on the table. So I don't know how long she'd been, because I was for a minute letting the door come down and listen to the song. Looked on the table, came back out. Come through here. I tried actually about right here. I'll take it back, about right here. I tried 911 again, and it was busy. When I called 911, it was busy. So I said, good, it's not Vonage. And I got back over here where I could kind of see everything. And I called 911 again, and that's when whoever said 911 and said, slow down, you're breathing too hard, slow down, whatever. And what's the emergency? And I don't remember for sure what I told him. Something about my wife been shot. This guy's tried to rip me off. I shot him. I think she said, did you shoot your wife? Or some, I don't remember what all was said. You guys will have to get the tape of that. I don't remember. But just said that she'd been shot really bad. We needed paramedics out here. Had to hurry. She told me not to hang up the phone. Ask about the guns. Was there guns in the house? And I says, yeah, there was guns in the house. And I think then that's when she put me, she said, I'm gonna, don't hang up. She told me two or three times not to hang up, but she told me don't hang up, but she said something about she's gonna put a paramedic or a medical person or somebody on the phone now and listen to them. And so,
did she ask you what your address was?
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
What did you tell her?
I told her the address. I think maybe that's when she told me to slow down. I was you know, I was too excited or something.
What address did you give her?
Well, I'm assuming I gave her this 16517 Rancho Santa Fe Drive. But, you know, I may have said it wrong. I don't remember. But it does, I do remember once she told me to settle down. I was too excited or something. And anyway, the paramedic got on the phone and he says, so what's happened with your wife, or describe your wife or whatever, something to that effect. And I said, well, she's been shot. She's bleeding a lot around the, she's on her belly. She's bleeding a lot underneath her head. I don't remember exactly, but I described basically whatever was going on with her. And that's what I remember. She was bleeding under her head, and that's what I had said. And I told him I had taken a pulse and I couldn't get a pulse. And he said, you've already taken one. And I said, yeah. And I believe that's what happened, he asked me, and I said yes. And he says, okay, now listen close. We've got, this isn't going to be, he was basically telling me it was going to be yucky. I don't remember the words he used, but he said that we needed to take care of Sharon or she was going to die. And it wasn't going to be pleasant, is maybe what he said. And I said, that's okay, I can do it. Let's just do what we got to do. And so he told me to roll her over, and I went over, and well, I guess I had this phone still. So, and that's what he said, keep the phone by you. And I went over, and it seems like he told me to lay the phone down now and roll her over. So he said, but keep the phone by me. Don't hang up. So I got down like this to, now this is the back part, and it was bad then, but it's really bad tonight, so it may not be exactly like that. But I laid the phone down something like that. I said, Sharon, Sharon. I'm trying to get her to respond in some way. And told him that she wasn't responding, and he says, you're going to have to roll her over and do the chest compressions. And I says, okay. And so I tried to roll her over several times, and I couldn't get her over. She just was too, it's just too much weight for me. It was hurting me. And I remember grunting and trying to get her over. And I told the guy, I got him back on the phone. I told him, it seems like I told him, I can't get her over. I said, because she's just too big. And then I says, wow, this is really freaking me out. I says, I don't think I can do this. I says, the other guy is just down the hall, and he's got a gun, and he shot my wife. He tried to fight, shoot me, or I think he said shoot me, but he might have said fight with me. Tried to shoot me, and he's just laying in the garage. For all I know, he could get up any time and shoot me again. And the guy says, okay, let's take care of that. He says, get up. He says, you've got your gun. I said, yeah. And he says, okay, get your gun, get up very slowly, walk toward the man. I think he told me not to hang up. And I know when I started to get up, I pushed like that, because I remember it left a blood thing somewhere right here, trying to balance myself to get up. And I got up, got around Sharon, excuse me, and I had it either in my pocket, in my belt loop, something. I took the gun, kept looking back. I'll tell you what, too, at about this time, and I did not tell you that, but about this time, I got anointed, and I went in the shower, and I just went like that and backed off, except it didn't do that. It went back in. I just kind of went because I started thinking there was somebody in the shower. And that I didn't put in the report. I remembered that later and was going to call you, but I didn't. And go back down the hall, and the guy's talking. I turn on the light because it had went off. And he's laying right here. The hood, I don't think the car was this far up. I think the car was a little bit further back, but he was laying. Yeah, it was definitely further. I park all the way over. When I park, all the way over against the edge, because if you don't, you can't get out. and my car will stop right there, so I can get out where those buckets, where those that JVC thing is. That's as far as my front end will go, and then I can get out after that. Sharon backs or pulls in about where she's at, and we can get in. Just got a little more room that way. And that night, the car was a little bit further back. The truck was a little further, I think, this way, and maybe a little further back. But anyway, he's laying right here, and he had on a sweatshirt, and I think he still had on the gloves, as far as I remember. But I do remember the ski mask was right up here by one of his hands, sort of, or by up here somewhere. And there was sacks like this. And when he got in the car, there was sacks that was in the trunk that he was, because he said he had a date. And my briefcase was in the trunk, because one of the last things I did before I leave was get my briefcase out of the trunk and throw it in the back of Sharon's car. I always lift the seat up, stick the bag underneath the seat, then close the seat down so nobody can see it, because I'm paranoid somebody will steal my bag with my medicine and my money in it. And I'm talking to the guy, and I said, I don't see the gun. I says, there's some bags of stuff here. I says, there's my bag. I says, I'm into bags, and he's got one of my bags, and it's the bag that is in there on the living room table that I think it's a Walmart bag. And he says, well, find the gun. It has to be in there. And I remember reaching into the bag and feeling around, and I stuck my finger. And there wasn't, I didn't feel a gun in there. Like I said, this was a little further back because I went around over here, and I was still keeping a pretty good eye on him. I walked around back in here and had room to get through there looking for the gun. And that's when I seen the fire extinguisher up under the tire and realized, I mean, where the funniest things pop into your head. But I realized I just shot this guy two times because the fire extinguisher fell down. But that's just how it happened. And I went over here looking to see if I could see the gun. And about that time, the timer went off on the garage door. And it just went black in here. And it just scared the living hell out of me. So I got back about right here and just kind of stepped real big because I knew he was over there, and turned the door back on, turned back around, told him I couldn't find it. He told me it has to be there. If he had a gun, it has to be there. Carefully roll him over and see if it's there, or something about rolling him over. And I just put my foot on him and up on the shoulder and kind of pushed on him, and he kind of tilted that way. And when he did, then he kind of went like this, and I reached down right here. Let's see if he was laying this way. It would have been this hand. It would have been this hand, because he was laying. He was laying something like this, but on his head. And when I pushed him over, then his hand dropped down, and it was right here under this hand. It wasn't, he wasn't holding it, but it was in, his hand was right by it. He was holding it, I'm assuming, but he wasn't holding it then. And I picked it up by the, I think by the wood part on it, and brought it in here, told the guy I got the gun. He said, throw it, put it somewhere in another room where it's safe, and lock the door. So I locked the door, except this is a lot faster. This all is just going really fast. And I remember seeing, I'm assuming it's these things. And this has been moved, because I don't even remember if this was in here or not. I know it wasn't over there, I'm sure. But it was either here or laying on here. I think it was on here. And I threw the gun. I got just about to right here. And I just threw the gun like that. I don't remember if it stayed up on the top, if it fell down in the garbage can. But I was done with it for then. I went back down in here to my wife, got back to where I was at, told him everything was cool, got back down here, and shook Sharon again, talked for a minute, and I said, she's still not moving, but she's bleeding really, really bad. And he says, that's why you've got it. She's going to die if you don't do this now. Something about going to be unpleasant. He says, now put down the phone and roll her over and then talk to me. So I remember from CPR and stuff that you got to do the counterweights or whatever. So I, seems like I lifted this arm, kind of lifted her up and pulled this arm under and one of these knees sort of over and kind of, I just had to jerk her. There wasn't, I mean, it wasn't like a gentle, loving thing by any means. It was like, and about the third time it jerked enough that she got up kind of straight up and I could just kind of push her over. And she came over and it was the grossest thing I had ever seen in my life. And my wife that died of the heart defect was pretty gross, but just really thick, globby stuff coming out of the mouth. And I don't know if it was blood. I don't know if it was some type of matter. And I remember the box was under here and it was slick. And I tried to push the box like that back, trying to get the leverage. And there was the other gun, another gun laying right here. And I picked it up. And I don't know why for sure that I was gonna check it to see if it was loaded. And I don't know why, because I know guns better than this. I don't know revolvers that much, but I pushed the revolver, the button at the cylinder drops open. And I'm thinking more like a safety button or something. But anyway, I just pushed it, and I could see that the cylinder was starting to come open. So I just closed it back and just threw it back, just dropped it right there. And started doing the chest compulsions, compressions, got him on the phone, told him what was going on. I reached across like this, took her pulse one more time, no pulse, and pulled her blouse up, and I went up from the sternum or whatever is the way I was taught to do it, and I went up to where the sternum is, and then put my, you go up one fist up and then one fist over it. And I know the whole time I'm probably crying and yelling, Sharon, God damn it, fuck, Sharon, fuck, talk to me, something like that. And I'm doing the chest compressions. And then I kind of thought, maybe I'm not doing these right. I'm kind of doing them like a wild man. So then I started 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and I'm really just getting tired. And every time I pushed on them, blood just oozed out. And I did that for, it doesn't seem like it was very long, maybe 10, 20 compressions on my own, and then maybe 15 where I was counting, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and I told the guy, I says, you know, I got a bad back and bad neck. And I says, I just don't got too much left in me. And he says, the police are here. Go let them in the front door. Just go let them in the front door. And I got up and went and let the police in the front door. Yeah, I don't remember what I did with the phone. And I just came right in here. And now what's weird about the door, and this I do not remember for sure, but it seems like when I undid the door that I did it all right. I looked to make sure the buzzer was off, and then I realized it was too dark, so I turned all these lights on and turn them off again to make sure I had all the right ones, because one of them works a floodlight, one of them works this light, and one of them works the porch light. But anyway, I turned them on and off again, make sure I had them right, and I unlocked the doors, got to, and by then the cops are yelling, put your hands up, whatever. And I think they must have had some type of lights or something, maybe just car lights, but it was really bright in here. And I did the same thing on this, but it was like I locked the door instead of unlocking it. So then I had to go back and do it again to come out. And that's the only thing really weird I remember, is that I thought that I had unlocked the door, and it seems like I locked them and then unlocked them. And that don't make any sense to me, because they should have just been unlocked. I mean, I should have just unlocked them once rather than, and I may have only done it once. It may just be my mind, but in my mind, it seems weird to me. It seems like I locked them rather than unlock them. And then I just went outside and cops grabbed me and just took me down, took my money, took my clip, took my gun, took my little pill bottle thing, took my keys, took everything I had in my pocket. They didn't check my shoes, didn't check,
That's probably gonna be good.
I was just gonna say, because this camera's starting to tweak me out. I wasn't planning on camping out in there. I was just getting them and going.
We've switched tapes, now we're on tape two. And we're just gonna go through some clarifying questions to get real specific about what you're dealing with here. You said that you had gone into the room and you took the gun from the shoe rack that's hanging in the closet.
And a clip,
and you put the clip in your pocket. And then when you were coming, you started to come out.
I did come out.
Okay, you are actually exited all the way out of
the
I'm about right here. Okay, so you're in the doorway.
And he's coming right by.
Okay, but then he charged towards you. How far back into the room do you think that you went?
Well, I went to right here to the door.
When he came towards you.
No, when I came in here like this, decided, okay, I thought I seen something right there. I just went just like that. Got it, stuck it in there, and came back right about that. And about right then, he's about right where he is.
Okay, so he's standing right in the area.
Even closer, about where, about here.
Okay.
And then he just kind of comes in to where
is
I come out.
Is he facing you like I'm facing you now?
He's more like going out,
okay,
but he's
looking. He's going to leave.
He's looking at me.
Okay.
He's looking at me.
But he's making his motion north towards the door.
I don't know if he's making his toward the door or more toward just coming around this way. But I'm just saying he wasn't back that far. He was about right here.
Okay, he's about here, and he's going towards the garage door.
I don't know that he's going toward the garage door. He's just going to right here, as far as I know, because that's
okay,
where
so
we met.
If you could, not me doing it, if you could explain his actions for me, if you could kind of show what you remember him doing.
He just came up, just coming up right up here. Well, he's just about right here. And I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he's doing, because I just turn around and got this and turn around, and like there he was.
Well,
there
not,
he was.
Not what was in his head. What was he physically doing? What were his movements that you remember?
Just about. Well, that was about it. He's just walking like this, and he knew. I think he knew I had went in there. I don't know if he seen me go in there or what.
Okay.
But when
so
he
what
came,
did you see him do? If you could just repeat his movements.
Just like that. Just kind of.
So he stepped into the doorway and squared off on you.
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
More of a back there, back
right.
There.
So now
maybe even maybe about right
doing?
There. He was looking for it first. I thought he was looking at something, but I guess he was just looking through me.
Because you guys are just a few inches away from each other.
Just
really.
A few inches away, and
okay.
he's going. I had just come down with the gun, and you could see my gun. I had the gun.
Okay.
And he's doing.
And he's reaching.
Doing for something. I don't know what he's doing. He's
okay.
Either getting a gun or going to fuck me, because
he's
doing it with something with his pants.
He's facing this way, and he's got both hands or just one?
I think just one, but I don't know for
which
sure.
It's stamped in your memory. I mean, I'm sure that you're never going to forget it.
I think it was this hand he was digging in, because I was thinking I could probably hit him. I think it was this hand here he was digging with. Well, he had both hands down, but
okay,
then
so
one
he had
hand.
Both hands, and it looks like his left hand was digging?
It looked like this hand.
Okay.
and then came up with, kind of cut the other hand up like a defensive move almost.
He did?
Yeah, kind of. Well, he was just getting it up. I don't know if he was going to push me or what.
What's he saying to you?
I don't know that anything was said. There was something said like, fuck you, or oh, fuck, or fuck this, because I remember saying fuck a few times. Mm-hmm. Fucking come in my house or something like that or something. I just, you know, just
he
shit.
Did he say anything to you?
I don't remember. I don't think he did.
So he steps up in here, and then he turns and he squares off against you. And then what do you do?
He's just about like that. That's it. Then he moves on down here.
He didn't come in on you?
Nope, he didn't come in on me. He just, well, maybe a little bit on me, but not like we was gonna fight. He was more, and you know what happened when we came in like this? We sort of like this when we came out like this. I don't know if he was, because he's looking for his stuff, and then with this hand came up, and I thought he was going to push me, but I think what he did is did the mask, because somehow it seems like maybe his mask came up a little bit.
All right, so he lifts his own right arm and takes
it. I don't know that for sure. I'm just trying to just come around, but I remember we may have just touched here a little tiny bit.
Where was he in relation to you when you fired the first time?
Maybe right there.
So he's, now is he going?
No, he's turned toward me still. He's still
shuffling? How's he doing?
Nope, he's still trying to dig, and he's still digging out. He's just like this, just digging out, and I'm kind of coming. I'm just coming at him. I'm going to shoot him.
Okay,
I mean, there's
he
no...
He turned in here, and he squared off on you. How did he get there?
He seen me, then he just turned around and just kind of... Nope, he wasn't running. He was backing the whole time, just keeping an eye on me. He's keeping an eye on me. He's keeping an eye on me, see where I'm going.
Okay, so now he's gotten over to here, and he's still squared off against you?
Pretty close, I think. I just started shooting. I just started shooting, yeah.
Okay.
I just started shooting. I don't know if I fired the first shot.
Standing
just shot.
Standing straight up? Squared on you?
Don't know. I think he's still facing me. He might have been
he's
a little
still
more. No, I don't think so. I think then he may have had, I may have already shot him when he put the gun up, but he's more maybe kind of like that a little bit.
It seems like
it was like that, because it was just like, it was close.
Okay.
It was pretty close. Might have been a little further back.
Against the wall?
Yeah. And then he was headed toward the door, and that was it.
All right, so show me his movement from the time that he came up here, back here, where you first see him. Show me what you saw him do. Come back here. The door was closed, though, right?
No, door would be open. I closed the door after they told me to go get the gun and close the door.
Well, this is before all that's happening, though, because you're still confronting him.
Right. And I had the door when I came in and seen Sharon.
Oh, when you first saw
had
her,
the door.
You did this with the carpet?
Yeah, I did. I stood here from this. Sharon! Called at her a couple of times, and I actually started, like I told you, I pushed the garage and then stopped it because I was actually going to go get the neighbors.
Okay.
And I thought, you chicken shit, go see what's wrong with your wife. And I closed the door back down
and then did that. Okay.
And came up here and about right here. I just thought, nah, this ain't cool, and started going in to get the gun. And like I said, just as I started to go in here, I don't know if he went in, if he came out, if he jumped across, because it was just out of the corner of my eye, but I think he was hiding. I think he was in that bedroom, and he just stuck his eye out enough that I could just see him.
In the drum room?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Just enough that I could see him, and just out of the corner of my eye. And that's what, I just got scared. And I said, fuck it, I know there's a gun in there, and that's what I did. I just grabbed it and turned around, and he was coming down. I think he was running. I think he was probably going
to
run away. And
just
we
run out the door.
Yeah, and right around in here somewhere, we actually kind of bumped into each other just for a split second.
Okay, but if he's running towards that open door.
Well, I don't know that he was going toward the door as much as maybe he was coming toward me.
Okay, so show me what you saw from the moment you could see him. After you get the gun,
I almost ran into him.
Right.
Okay, he's coming down here, and it's like he was looking to see if I was in there for sure. I don't know if he was like thinking maybe I'm just standing here waiting to pop him if he goes by, but he was kind of like just kind of just like this, and I was right up on him.
Okay, Okay, then right finish up on the move until you see him go down.
Actually, I came forward. I came forward a little bit because we made contact, because that's when I bit the side of my mouth. I thought I hit the door or something, but it was okay. Just from contact. I might even have maybe I might have pushed his mask up because I'm taller okay. when we came in here.
Well, but just be pushing it down, though. He's shorter.
Pardon me?
He'd be pushing it down, not up, right?
Well, I'd be pushing it kind of sideways. I wasn't, like, knocking it off or anything with my hands.
Okay.
I think just body movement.
All right, Tom. So and then if you
would, I'm
you,
thinking maybe it clogged his vision.
This for me. You've gone into the room. You retrieved the gun. You're coming back out. Show me his movement from the time you see him until the time he goes down. Repeat that for me. You actually do that movement.
Okay. I'm coming out about the same time, too, and about right here we hit. And he's coming.
Okay.
He's coming down just like
you
this.
You first see him, he's there. He squares off on you.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Kind of.
Then what happens? With him, just his movement, not yours.
Like kind of like that. And I was already shooting.
Okay. So
I was already shooting.
When you first fire, he's right in this area. He's
yeah.
Still facing.
Probably.
You.
Maybe a little more that way. Maybe a little more this way.
Okay.
Because I kind of just.
Where do you think he hit him?
Probably maybe in the arm or the chest. At first, okay. I didn't think I hit him because he just kept going.
Yeah. Okay, so after you fired the first time, does he stay squared off on you?
No,
or does
no.
he turn and go?
No, he's going.
Okay.
And I'm shooting the whole time. Seems like maybe about right here, he actually gets turned away from me.
Okay, so you fire the first time and now he's stepping. Go ahead and repeat his movements for him, whatever you remember.
Whatever we're doing something here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I hit him. I don't know if that's when he got his gun out, if he just said, fuck it, I'm running. I don't know what the deal was. It seems like I shot him again, maybe like about right here. And then he started turning like this toward the door. And I shot.
Okay.
I may have emptied the gun. I don't know.
How many times do you think you fired before you got to the door?
As many times as I could. I don't know.
How many times do you think?
I think the gun holds 8, and it would have had one in the chamber.
So that's 9,
and I don't remember it staying open, so it had to be 8 or less.
Okay.
But
so then what happens after he's... Now he's squared off against you. You fire the first round.
I fired once
he
or twice, fired again.
And as he's going out the door, you fire again?
I'm firing.
Okay, and then he goes down right outside the threshold.
Yeah, he is... by then I'm here and he's down. He's down, laying, falling or laying down. I don't know.
How does he land? Face first?
I think he does because maybe on his shoulder, but kind of his head turned down.
So more on his right side. You're showing.
Kind of under his hand, but. Like that, but laying down.
Because
the car was further back and he's small.
Did you flip him over?
I pushed him over, yeah, with my foot.
All right, so he's mostly on his right side and you pushed him further over?
Right, to find the gun when the guy told me to.
Okay.
But I shot him before that again.
Okay.
I was standing right around probably about right here. And I mean, this is all almost the same continuous
right.
motion. I'd already shot him and was coming up and he was down and kind of, you know, doing whatever you do as you go down. And about that time, that's kind of scary. About that time, I had stopped shooting for a minute because I thought that's it. You know, he's done. And about that time that the light went off, it was up. And that opens the door. That fire extinguisher sits over here. I think the fan sits up. But anyway, this fire extinguisher, when I remember seeing it, was under my car like that. But my car was further down. But the fire extinguisher fell, and that's what the noise was.
And then you fired two more times from the threshold?
One or twice, I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Once or twice, and I was still in here.
So he's laying head that way.
Almost head and body kind of this way, and his legs over here, one hand there, and
okay.
that's
but
about
mostly
it.
Mostly on his...
No, wait, his hand would have been up underneath here. So he was kind of laying like this.
Okay.
At first, and when the noise came down, I shot one or two times along here.
Okay.
So you stood. It may have been once, it may have been twice.
Where'd you hit him then?
Pardon me?
Where'd you hit him?
I shot him in the head. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
In the head or in the up in the back area, somewhere through here.
And you're standing about that? You're standing.
I think so. I somewhere around in here.
So you could see his head at that point? You could see his face? How was his head in relation to the floor? Was it facing down at the floor or was it facing up towards you? Was it facing out to the side, to the west?
It's kind of facing this way.
Okay, so
kind of down.
More or less down.
Yeah.
So you probably hit him in the
back. And I don't think, let me think here.
So you probably hit him in the back of the head? Could you tell it was Mike yet?
I knew it was Mike because of his chin. But I don't know if he had his mask on then. It seems like he still had his mask on then. It happened really fast. I don't know. But
well,
it seems like
he had his mask on when he was
yeah,
backing away
he
from
had
you, right?
Yeah, he had his mask on there for sure. But I know when I came out, his mask was over here, I think. I don't know. I ain't going to say that either because that may have been some of the shit he got out of the house that was there. I don't know.
There's that.
I don't know. So I really don't know. I was scared.
Well, when you're back here and he squared off on you, you still had his mask on?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think when we ran into each other, I think maybe it tilted a little bit. And I think that's what he was trying to do with his other arm was to be able to see.
Oh, okay.
Because he
okay.
was kind of acting like he didn't know what he was doing. And I just figured that's scared. But then I start thinking he may not have been able to actually see out of where he needed to see.
Okay.
Just out of the eye holes or whatever.
Okay, but then when he went between him now turning and you continuing to shoot and him going to the ground, he's still got his mask on.
I think so.
Right. See, 'cause you couldn't tell who he was yet.
I don't.
When he was facing you here in the hallway, if he'd had his mask off, you'd have known it was Mike, right?
Oh, yeah. And I was still shouting. It wouldn't have mattered a bit. But I really don't know. I really don't know.
So then after that, after he goes down, you're standing here, the fire extinguisher falls, and you shoot him.
It's kind of a reflex. Boom, boom.
In the head.
I think in the head, yeah.
Okay.
Just kind of the bigger area up in there because he was kind of crunched up.
Okay.
And then I walked around in there and tried to stay out of the blood and stuff because the guy told me find the gun.
And he didn't have anything in his hands, right?
In his hands?
Right. Did he have anything in his hands here?
No.
Squared off
was,
on you?
He was going for something in his hands.
Oh, he
in
was
his, I don't know if he was going in his...
In the pocket?
Yeah, like he had on sweatshirts mm-hmm. with pockets. I don't know if it was one of those that go all the way through, if it's one that just had two pockets that zippers up.
But he wasn't carrying anything.
No, he didn't have anything in his hands. He was going for something either in his pant loops, in his pocket, down in his pants, something,
okay.
You know.
So
I wasn't really paying attention to what he was grabbing at. I was paying attention to killing him.
Okay. But the bag and stuff, that was already out here. The bag of jewelry and everything was already out here on the ground.
Yes, yes.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. They say you can't plan for the unexpected, but they probably haven't heard of Aflac. You know them as the famous duck, but Aflac is a leader in supplemental insurance. They can better prepare you for life's surprises by helping cover expenses your health insurance doesn't. Even with good health insurance, medical bills are no joke. Many people don't realize health insurance wasn't designed to cover everything, which means money set aside for essentials like rent goes towards unexpected medical bills instead. That's where Aflac comes in. They pay cash that can be used for anything you choose. Think copays, deductibles, and even non-medical expenses like gas or groceries. Without Aflac, if you're sick or injured, gaps in your coverage can come back to haunt you. With Aflac, you can better protect yourself against the unexpected and help provide you and your family with financial security and added peace of mind. You can't predict the future, but you can better prepare for it with Aflac. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit Aflac.com to learn more.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.